This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Chad Daybell, the trial is well underway, and we've learned some interesting information this week. We even got to see new Chad Daybell video, which we have never seen, which is kind of surprising because so much content has already come out over the last several years, from Lori Vallow's trial to the discovery in this case and so forth. But to see something new from the actual time period when an investigation was going on looking for the bodies of those children is a rather interesting tell. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, I'm curious to get your thoughts on kind of the behaviors that we saw here in the Daybell, basically calming of his daughter, "It'll be okay, but I'm not coming back." Video that was shown in court this week. Very telling to say that to his daughter of, he wasn't even arrested yet, but he was in the process of, it was about to happen, to say, "I'm not coming back."
Yeah, it fits a pattern that I've seen with him too, and I think we've all seen, and that is, he's out of the two of them, you have Lori and you have Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, from my observation, seems to be the charismatic mastermind that I think their defense is going to use, that pushed him over the ledge of doing stupid, crazy, heinous acts. And he seems to be the one that maintained a more thoughtful, I don't want to say thoughtful because none of this is thoughtful, cognizant process, very, very pragmatic about what was actually going on. And here's why. This is my second data point that is a really powerful one that you just mentioned. He said, "I'm not coming back." So that is someone who's not living inside their own delusion. That's someone who seems to be extremely aware of the reality of the world around him, unlike Lori, who had completely oblivious to reality. The other time we saw this is when in Hawaii, I haven't seen the video in a while, but in Hawaii, when they were actually served the papers to produce their two children, Lori was just like, "Oh, blah, blah, blah." She's laying there. It's like, "Hey, dude, get out of my way. You're standing in my son," kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad's the one that kind of took the papers, read them, was engaged.
Yeah.
So he, again, in those moments, he seems to be the one that kind of understands the reality of what he's doing, and with a complete lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he doesn't come across as your, you know, Dahmer kind of psychopath, but
mm-hmm.
in order to have that kind of disconnect with his children and other human beings, and using them as I call tools, screwdrivers, hammers that just can be discarded to serve his own purposes and serve his job that he had and he embraced with Lori. And that job was, number one, they were in the insurance collection business.
Very much so.
And that's it. So he seemed to be one acting it all out, and she was the charismatic wackadoo, in my technical term.
And it makes me wonder, I mean, he does, that right there where he said, "I'm not coming back," that really kind of does show that he was conscious of what was going on, what the repercussions would be if he got caught. Lori, I don't know that she really was grasping that, or if she did, she felt it was justified in some way, shape, or form. Was Chad someone that Lori kind of sized up from the beginning and thought, "I can get this guy to do my bidding for me"? And maybe not as just, you know, easily cognizant as we would think about that, but more so just that's her way of thinking. That's how she is. She's constantly manipulating people, and she didn't want kids anymore. She wanted to go live this life, do that. This is the guy that's going to follow through on basically anything I want him to do because he wants me physically.
You got the exact behavior of a pure predator in her. You know, she had a lifetime of repetitions, as we say, of doing this. She's a master manipulator. I don't think she was cognizant. In other words, she didn't sit back with some master plan on how she's going to manipulate Chad. This is just part of her natural state of being
mm-hmm.
and living in her own fantasy world about the me, 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 me. you know, that high level of narcissism, that high level of psychopathy. Again, I'm not licensed on these things, but we can see these behaviors. If we Google them, we can actually see this is exactly what she was doing as a natural state of who she was. And I still think the most telling way in which to do that is when you have someone on trial for heinous acts and crimes, one thing that you want to do is you want to bring in people from your past, from every aspect of your life to kind of stand by your side, stand behind you, say, yes, but she's this kind of person. She's a great mother. She's a great friend. I've known her for all these years. And what a great, warm human being. We didn't get that from one person.
No, no, we really did not.
That is a lifetime of destroyed relationships that master manipulators do.
Yeah. I mean, she bounced from one husband to the next, and some were dead, and some don't even want to like come forward and even say like, yes, I was with Lori Vell, and they're out there. There's actually, you know, I think we've heard like little bits and pieces here and there where it's like, yeah, I'm that guy. Just leave me alone, please. But it would be very interesting, I think, to have a conversation with some of those people that are still alive that did have an intimate relationship with her. That was in that partner type role, to hear just how nutty that must have been. Obviously not to the level of murder, because they're still around, but you know, what drove them to say, this is it, I got to get out of this thing?
So it's a great hypothetical question, a great conversation to have with those people. I think you'd be challenged to do that for a few reasons. One, the ability, and this is why we haven't seen them most likely, is because these people are living probably with a lot of shame that they got duped.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you feel like you've been manipulated and taken advantage of, our natural state of being is to cringe at ourselves and our own behaviors. Like, how could I be so dumb? How could I be so blind? And the way in which good, healthy human beings get out of those situations is to have what Lori and Chad didn't have, obviously, is a loving critic, as I've often said, is that someone who can be objective for us, that comes in, swoops in and says, hey, dummy, what are you doing with crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that kind of aha moment when someone can kind of snap reality into your face. And if you're not in your own delusion and they didn't suck you too far in, you can kind of then pull back, get out, and save yourself with others. And then when the reality of what you were doing and what you got caught up in hits you, you tend to feel a lot of shame, a lot of remorse, a lot of guilt, a lot of all these things, because you're now hitting recovery mode.
Sure.
Basically being addicted to crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's what she is.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.